1st June 1893. Statement of Deputy Abdullah Atham. Yesterday, during the statement of the other party, I heard two very strange declarations. One, as if I did not answer any of your issues, and second, that I seem to have conceded that the human form of Christ was devoid of the second person of the divinity for 30 years. If there seems to be this misunderstanding, I want to rectify these two issues at this time. For the first mistake, my answer is that after yesterday's papers are published and available for the audience, only then the fair-minded people will see for themselves whether I did not give an answer or the other party failed to do so. Regarding the second issue, my answer was that the special manifestation of God in Christ became apparent at the time when he left Jordan after being baptized, and when the voice was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, I am pleased with him, listen to him. He is the Messiah from that time onward." Thus, I consider both these pronouncements to be akin to beating the ripped drum or frazzled trumpet. Secondly, the other party certainly did not answer my question as to how the demand of divine justice was fulfilled, nor did he give any just consideration to it. Therefore, I will neither say anything about it nor hear anything further about it. I will now present the rest of my questions, and the first of these questions is as follows. يَقُولُونَ هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. They say, "Is there for us any part in the government of affairs?" Say, "All government belongs to Allah." In the Gospels, it is indeed written that privilege, which can be roughly translated as latitude, is indeed bestowed by Allah. Thus, some are given honor and respect, while others are humiliated. Some are made masters and others are made servants. But nobody will have the hellfire as their destiny, nor is anybody assigned destruction. It is further written that Pharaoh was allowed to become established for this very reason. The actual words are, "was made established," meaning that he was allowed to become established so that the glory of divine attributes may increase in him. But it is not written that man has no choice whatsoever. However, his deeds are accountable. In short, this is the difference between the Holy Quran and the Gospels, that the Holy Quran gives teachings that are contradictory to human choice, whereas the Gospels do not negate choice in human actions as they relate to privileges and permissions. And although the Holy Quran mentions compulsion along with destiny, these two cannot be compatible with each other. My third question is regarding what is written in Surah At-Tawbah. قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حَتَّى يُعْتَى الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ.
It is written thus in Ruku 4, "Kill those who believe not in Allah, nor in the last day, nor hold as unlawful what Allah and His Messenger have declared to be unlawful, including those who are the people of the book, until they pay the jizya, tax, with their hand and acknowledge their subjection." Our allegation here is that this verse teaches compulsion in faith. The jihads of Moses were of a different type. No person can prove that in them safety and security were dependent on faith. While in this verse, the jihad referred to is not a defensive jihad, nor is it a jihad of revenge, nor is it a governmental affairs-related jihad. In fact, it is a jihad that whosoever does not believe in these Quranic principles will be killed. This is what is called compulsion in faith. Our respected Sir Sayyid Ahmad Khan Bahadur does not concede jihad of compulsion. He states that you either accept or die or live by paying the jizya. But regarding the third condition concerning the jizya, our question to him is, why have the words minal lazina, from among, being used for the people of the book? The word min or from is excessive, and people of the book have an exception to this rule. Then, is this not wishful thinking that this third condition should also be declared as commonly applicable? And then this gentleman also states that the verse la ikraha fid din refutes all objections relating to compulsion in religion. But if we can show that the Quran also contains the following command that, O Muslims, when some well-off person approaches you and greets you with the greeting of peace, you should not say to him that you are deceitful and not really a Muslim, so that you can rob him. God will give you much wealth in other ways. So, is it not then use of force to rob a person by way of deceptive slander? And is this not against the policy which hinders the progress of religion? On this very note, there are a few other sides to this matter that can be presented from the opposing party, and we shall deal with them when they are raised. Thirdly, a glimpse of the teachings of the Quran that has been presented above shows that there is not even slight obscurity that could give us any deception concerning the miracles. Thus, His Excellency Muhammad absolutely refuses to be known as a miracle maker. Some Muslims maintain that in the verse, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ, a great miracle on the eloquence and articulacy of the Quran has been stated. But there is no mention in the verse regarding what the example is being sought, and there is not a word in the Quran regarding the claim of the eloquence and fluency anywhere. Perhaps what is meant by this Quranic claim is that the Quran is a summary of the books of the previous prophets, which could not have been made by any creature other than God. Therefore, it, the Quran, too, is without equal. That is to say, it contains a claim to containing holy teachings, but not of eloquence and fluency. In fact, contrary to being eloquent and articulate, it is also written in the Quran that it has been made easy in Arabic for the Arab people. Yet, whatever eloquence and fluency is absolutely new becomes in need of being explained, and instead of being easy, does not remain easy at all. And it should also be remembered that according to the Quran, His Excellency Muhammad was not absolutely illiterate. But the Quran actually says that whoever is not from among the people of the book is illiterate. And in actuality, it seems that His Excellency Muhammad did not have the knowledge of Hebrew and Greek. Likewise, it should also be remembered that the word book in Quranic terminology normally means only a revealed book and not any worldly book. Fourthly, you did not fully answer one of my questions yesterday. I had wished to know if the birth of Jesus was indeed a miracle or not. In other words, did he have a father or not? Did the angel, specifically Gabriel, bring glad tidings to Mary or did he not? And what you asserted regarding your vision that you had conversed with His Excellency Muhammad, in our opinion, the proof of this is nothing more than the proof concerning the night of ascension of your master. Moreover, we ask why you place the Unitarians and Roman Catholics as judges over us. They call themselves Christians, but we believe them to be wrong Christians. When our Archbishop Deputy wanted to assess how far the circle of Christianity was, he included Muslims among Christians, and he used arguments from the Quran, yet we cannot accept them as true Christians. The rest later. Signature English, Henry Martin Clark, President representing Christians. Signature English, Ghulam Qadir Fasih, President representing Muslims.